Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsyth. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Good to have you here. Bless you. Take your Bibles, if you would. Locate 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I have really enjoyed the singing today. And I trust when you sing, you put your heart in it. That means something to you. You're not just singing a song. But the truth of it is so important. You know, you ought to get excited about it. Sometimes when we're singing up here and I'm sitting up here, sometimes I get excited about it. But I think I ought to see you excited about it too, amen? Say, wow, that's good. That's good. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. The title of the message is The Blessing of a Backward Look. The blessing of a backward look. And so let's look at 2 Peter, chapter 1, reading verse 1 down through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them. Now that to them, by the way, is us. To them that have obtained the like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Where does that come from? Grace and peace comes from the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, or Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. God's divine power has given unto us, those of like precious faith, all things that pertain unto life, that pertain unto godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We're called people. Amen. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall, what? Never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to you today, we thank you that we can. We thank you, Father, that we can assemble in freedom, because much of the world, Father, can't. We thank you that we can call upon you because of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our salvation in him. We thank you, Father, that you love us. You watch over us. You're available to us. You're faithful. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us and your love for us. Ask you now to bless as we share some thoughts from your word, that we might be blessed and we might praise you. We might thank you for your love for us and your goodness to us. It's so easy, Father, to be distracted from the things of God in this world. Help us to put you first. Help us to love you more than anything. And Father, just look into our hearts and help us to be grateful and thankful for what you provide for us. Bless now these thoughts and our time together here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. excuse me. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. As we have been given another year, are you thankful to have another year?
Amen.
As we have been given another year to serve the Lord, it's always wise for us to just stop, take a breath, and take a breather, and to look back and see how God has blessed us. It's good for us and healthy for us to look back at the last year. Look at your life last year. Examine your life last year. How was it with you and the Lord and your service for Him? Look back on the last year. Maybe check and see what you maybe missed. Check and see what maybe you should have done that you didn't do. Look at things that you did do and whether they could have been done better. Look back at the last year and see how you can improve your life, how you can improve your service for Jesus Christ, how you can do things better as far as serving God and maybe prayer and maybe Bible reading and maybe witnessing and maybe, you know, cleaning up some things at your life that probably shouldn't be in your life as a believer. So it's good to look back. It's good to analyze, check the record and see how we're doing. A poem was written that says this: to leave the old with a burst of song, to recall the right and forgive the wrong, to forget the thing that binds you fast to the vain regrets of a year that's past, to have the strength to let go your hold on the not worthwhile of the days grown old. To dare go forth with a purpose true to the unknown task of the year that's new. To help your brother along the road, to do his work and lift his load. To add your gift to the world's good cheer is to have and to give a happy year. Isn't that good? That's good. Thank you, David. We got some good folks in this church, amen? I just growl a little bit and they bring me a glass of water. Amen, that's good. For a Christian, as we look at our text, the first four verses give you some things to think about as you are going into this new year. So in these first four verses, it gives us things that we need to think about and put in place, I think, for this new year. Peter tells us of the blessings that God has provided for us in the past. So it's a time to look back. Peter then goes on to tell us of the instructions that God gives, of the encouragement that we have to look at the future. And we'll look at that next time as far as the future is concerned. We need to take a look forward as well, amen? But right now we're taking a look backward. Now note who Peter addresses in his message. He addresses to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So as we think of that passage or that sentence, we stop and ask ourselves, are you one of those that have obtained like precious faith as he's describing here? Are you sure you're saved? Sure you're going to heaven? Know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Been a time and a place in your life that you bowed the knee and received Jesus Christ as Savior, confessing yourself as a sinner before God, because all people are. We're all born in sin. So I trust that describes you, that you have obtained like precious faith with Peter and all that's written here through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace. Here's a question. You have the grace of God upon your life? Amen. You have the peace of God upon your life? Amen. Are you at peace with yourself, in your heart, in your soul? Are you at peace with others around you? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, the next phrase is, the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of Jesus, our Lord, it says in verses 1 and 2. Grace and peace to you. But where does that grace and peace come from? It comes from the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It comes through knowing this book. Why? Because this is God's book. This is inspired of God. Amen? It is our guidebook. It is our map. It is our instruction book. That's where peace comes from. Grace and peace come from knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, the knowledge of him. And speak of knowledge, we're supposed to grow in knowledge. Amen? Get smarter, smarter every single day in our lives as to God and Jesus Christ, who they are and what they mean. So, taking a backward look, we see the blessings of the past. He mentions that in verses 3 and 4. We see the blessings of the past. It says here, according to the divine power given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So taking a backward look here, we see the blessings of God upon us in the past as described here. If you're saved and know Christ as Savior, we can rejoice in that and look at the past and see what God has done. Amen? Amen. See his blessings upon us. It says here, we're told of the exceeding great and precious gifts we have in God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you often take time to reflect upon the great, the exceeding great and precious gifts that God has given unto us? Do you take time to really rejoice in the Lord and thank him for the life he's given you? Thank him for the salvation he's given you. Thank him for the faithfulness that he gives to you and is to you. So he mentions great and precious gifts. Well, let's look at those for a minute. What are these great and precious gifts that we have in Jesus Christ that he gave to us? First of all, in your redemption, and I trust you're saved, know Christ as Savior. In your redemption through Jesus Christ, you have everything. Say the word. Everything. You have everything you need. Amen. You have everything you need. Everything you need to serve God. Everything you need in this life, God provides for you. He provides everything that you need. So in your redemption, through Jesus Christ. Again, I trust you're saved. You have been given everything you need to live a wonderful life, a satisfying life, and as Jesus said, an abundant life. You have been given everything you need to serve God. And yet so much of the time we excuse ourselves, we have all these excuses why we can't be faithful, why we can't serve God, why we can't be witnesses, why we can't stand up for Christ wherever we are. He says, I'll give you everything you need to serve me. I'll give you everything you need to be a witness for me. I'll give you everything you need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. I'll provide everything you need. If you'll trust me and have faith in me, I will give you an abundant life. I will give you a wonderful life. Doesn't mean you won't have troubles, because remember this, you live in a troubled world. You live in a sin-cursed world. And by the way, we're all going to suffer just like the world suffers, whether you're a Christian or not. Do you know that death is normal? It happens every day. Older people die every day. Fathers die every day. Mothers die every day. Children die every day. Babies die every day. There are miscarriages every day. Do you understand? We live in a sin-cursed world, but somehow we think we are to be an exception to that. We're not. Now, we know we're God's children, amen? And He knows about us. And the thing about God is He is there for us when we need Him. Amen. But it doesn't necessarily mean that He's going to interject Himself and place His will upon you or other people. You live in a sin-cursed world. Death comes. Death is natural. I was studying this last night. Death is normal. We should not think that's the exception. When death comes to us, when death comes to our children, when death comes to our unborn babies, when death comes, it's a normal thing. Do you understand that? It's a normal thing. People all over the place, all across the world, every single day, death is there. But in Jesus Christ, in spite of the normalcy of this world and all that happens in this world, in spite of that, in our hearts and in our lives and in our homes, we have abundant life. We're having a wonderful life. Why? Because we know God. Amen? He's preparing a place for us. So we know that. So in your redemption through Jesus Christ, you've been given everything you need for life and for serving the Lord. Just as God has the power to save your soul, He has power to energize you, to give you power, to energize you to live a holy life in a sin-cursed world. He can energize you to live a good life and a holy life and an abundant life every day from that day on and serve Him faithfully. He gives you all you need. He's there for you. He provides for you what you need. God has power to save you from the penalty of sin. Aren't you glad? He has the power to save you from the penalty of sin. Well, I'm glad for that. And the power of sin. Not only are you saved and He has the power to save you from the penalty of sin, He has the power to save you from the power of sin. Sin does not need to overcome you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's only when you give in to it in your flesh that you fail. He gives you an abundant life. So there's nothing lacking for you to have peace. There's nothing lacking for you to have joy in your life. There's no more needed for you, by the way, there's no more needed for you than what God tells you and His promises to you. No, you don't need psychology. You don't need any of these things the world offers you. God is enough. Amen. Amen. God is enough. There's nothing lacking for you to have peace and joy in your life. There's no more needed for you to serve God by faith, trusting Him, and by obedience, obeying Him. You need to trust God, rely upon Him, believe Him, base your life and everything you are upon Him. Trust. You need to have faith in the Lord. You need to obey Him. Could you say right now that I'm obedient to the Lord in everything in my life? In some form or fashion, at least. You may not be perfect, but you trust God. You believe Him. I trust you believe Him today. You need nothing else. You need no other teaching. You need no other philosophy. You need no other discipline. You need no other system of any kind in order to serve God. Because He provides for you everything you need. You need nothing else to please the Lord. You need nothing else to have an abundant life except the knowledge of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's all you need. We don't believe that, though. We think we got to have more. I got to have more help books. I got to have all these things. It's good to read good books, by the way. They give you insight into things. As you look backward, was your life filled with God's great and precious gifts as you looked at last year? Was your life filled with those things? Do you realize and accept and rely upon the fact that having salvation in Jesus Christ, you have everything you need that pertains to, what's the two things? Come on. I got your attention? In Jesus Christ, you have everything that pertains to life. Amen. And you have everything you need pertaining to godliness. You have no excuse not to be godly. He gives you everything you need. You see, we as Christians are to live by God's divine power. Say amen. We as Christians are to live by God's divine power. I read this. I read where more people know the answers to more questions today than ever before in the history of humanity. Did you get that? More people know the answers to more questions today than ever before in history. But that this generation is the most completely lost generation the world has known. That's quite a quote. As William James said, the great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Spend your life on something that will outlast your life. Of course, that's serving the Lord. By God's divine power, He has given you all things added for life and for godliness. God has also given to you the knowledge of Him. The knowledge of Him. One gift that we have in Jesus Christ is He gives us all things needed for our life, our lives, and for godliness. To serve God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that gift has been given to you? All you need is trust God. Rely upon Him. Serve Him. Obey Him. All that's part of faith, by the way. Obedience and faith go together. So keep that in mind. God has also given to you, as Peter says in this text, God has also given to you the knowledge of Him. The knowledge of Him that has called you to glory and virtue. You're supposed to know God, amen? You come to know Him at salvation. But you're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Amen? You're supposed to and study Him. You're supposed to know Him. Knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of His Word. Just as God's divine power is the source of your life and the source of godliness, the knowledge of Him, you're knowing Him. The knowledge of Him is the channel to that life and to godliness. You must know Him, have knowledge of Him, have a relationship with Him, be close to Him, learn of Him. John 17:3 says, eternal life. Know what he says in this verse. John 17:3, eternal life. Are you thankful for eternal life? Eternal life is knowing. Eternal life is knowing. Listen, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a club that you join. It's a life that you receive.
Amen.
Amen. It's a life that you receive. It's not a club. It's not a religion. Religion, you can take it or leave it. Move it around, adjust it, make it adapt to what you want it to be for the most part. John 17:3 says eternal life is knowing, a personal relationship, knowledge of the person of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Eternal life is knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ. Now that's where eternal life is. See, a lot of folks just come to church and just join the church and they become religious and they try to do the best they can and they try to just, you know, be a good guy and a good girl and just live, you know, a decent life. And so I'm in the church and I'm living a decent life. That makes me a Christian. No, it doesn't. It is knowing God through Jesus Christ, His Son. You have a personal relationship with Him. Amen. You can talk with Him and He talks with you. He takes up residence in your life through the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. The more knowledge you have of God, the more like Him you become. The more knowledge you have of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more like Him you become. That's why we say it's so important for you to pray. I mean really personal, really pray sincerely and have a relationship with God through prayer, but also the Bible. That's why you got to study the Bible so you have knowledge of Him. You grow close to Him. The more knowledge you have of Him, the more like Him you become. What's the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. It goes on to say, study. Study to know God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Why do you study? Because you have a personal relationship with God. He speaks to you. And you study the Bible that you might be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. James says, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Again, it comes back. It's not religion, folks. It's a personal relationship. It's knowing God. It's knowing Jesus Christ. It's accepting Him into your life. You are, the Bible says, predestined. Now, if you want to talk about predestination, the only thing a Christian is predestined to do is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? The only thing you are predestined to do is be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You become like Him. A Christian's calling, as you read Peter, The Christian's calling is one of Peter's favorite themes, the calling of a Christian. Let me give you a couple here. You are called out of darkness into light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, what's it say? Stay with me here. Listen to it. As a Christian, you are called out of darkness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You're called out of darkness into God's light.
Amen.
Amen? Now, why don't you just pause here, look up and say, praise the Lord. Do it. Praise the Lord. You're called out of darkness into light. My goodness, folks, we ought to get excited about what God tells us and about his precious gifts that he gives to us. And that gift is, you're called out of darkness into light. You're called out of sin into holiness and righteousness of God in a relationship with him. Peter goes on, you're called in Christ to a path of suffering. Woo. Now let's pause here and say what? Come on, praise the Lord. Say it.
Praise the Lord.
Boy, it's hard to get anything out of you people. You're called in Christ to a path of suffering. Now, we don't like that one. But I've already mentioned we're in a sin-cursed world. And he says, and he tells us, and he's honest with us. Thank the Lord for that. He tells us that in this world and in this life, you're going to have what?
Problems.
He uses a word called T-R-I-B. There you go. Tribulation. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, he says. But you are called out of darkness into light.
Amen.
You are called in Christ to a path of suffering. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Because that's true. You are called to bless and not revile, Peter says in 1 Peter 3, 9. Now, what does that mean for us? We need to praise the Lord.
Amen.
I want you all to say that. I want you to look up here and say, praise the Lord.
Praise.
Woo! Somehow this stuff needs to get from here down to here. Is that serious? Yes. My goodness, we ought to be excited about God. Be excited about his word. Be excited about what he's done for us. You see, that's why we're looking back. We forget these things. We get so distracted and so burdened down in the world and all the problems that we face and all that kind of stuff. We forget who we are. We forget who God is. We forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. My goodness, we need to once, at least in church, say, praise the Lord for his goodness to us. Wow. Called out of darkness into light. Called to a path of suffering. Yes, he tells us that. Called to bless and not revile. Peter goes on to say, you're called to eternal glory.
Praise
the Lord. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? God is real, folks. He's real. Now, he's in heaven on his throne, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at his right hand interceding for us. Amen?
Yeah.
Lord Jesus has a lot of work to do. But he's there for us. Amen? You are called to eternal glory. Do it again.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You are called by virtue and glory, the wonders of glory of Christ's person. You are called by virtue and glory, the wonders of glory in Christ's person.
Amen.
Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
And we should show it. Why are we so hesitant to show it? And be excited about the things of the Lord. As someone said, the more knowledge you have of Christ, the more you become like him. I mentioned that. Andrew Murray said, we have no greater need. That great preacher, he said, we have no greater need than to know Christ better. That's the greatest need of most Christians. is to know Christ better, because you are predestined to be conformed to Him. Be conformed to His image. Count Zinzendorf, he said this, "I have one passion in life, and that's Jesus Christ." Another said, "Let our foremost resolve be to meditate on the life of Jesus Christ." Oh, how we need to meditate upon the Lord. Meditate upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What has the Lord given you? As you look back and you think about it, if you will think about it, what has He given you? He's given you the gift of great, note the word, great promises. He's given you the gift of precious promises. That's what He's given you. You remember John Bunyan? You know him, don't you?
Yes.
How many of you know John Bunyan? Well, I mean, you know who he is anyway. He's not around right now. He is, but he's not here. John Bunyan, what did he write? How many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? Wow. Let me give you a reading assignment. If you need to, get the Child's Version. Okay? Might be too hard for some of you folks. Get the Child's Version and read Pilgrim's Progress. A classic passage about salvation and God and knowing Him. John Bunyan, he said this, "The path of life is strewn so thickly with the promises of God that it is impossible to take one step without stepping upon one of them." Wow! Does God love you?
Amen.
Yes, He does. Are you to love Him?
Amen.
I think you should. I think you should. He promises you freedom from sin's power. Romans 6:14. Now note His promises. And again, I'm going to come back to you because you ought to be excited about this. Huh? And you might ought to express it a little bit. He promises you freedom from sin's power. Romans 6:14.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord. I want all of you to say it. Look up and say, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Now, I know I woke some of you up. I'm sorry. He promises you freedom from sin's power. That means sin cannot dominate you. Sin can't take you anywhere. Sin can't do anything to you. Amen?
Amen.
He's also, He promises grace for all your needs.
Amen.
God's favor, God's intercession for all your needs. Romans 6:14, no, 2 Corinthians 12. Now, can you say,
amen?
Thank you, Lord. Make it real, will you? Thank you, Lord, that I have the grace for all my needs, your grace for all my needs. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom from sin's power. Do you thank Him for that at all?
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to, but it's hard. He promises you power to do God's will. Thank you, Lord. Say it.
Thank you, Lord.
Boy, you're hard people. He promises you victory over Satan, James chapter 4.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, some of you are waking up. He promises you deliverance from temptation.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He promises forgiveness for confessed sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You note the word now, confessed sin. You have forgiveness for confessed sin. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we a blessed people?
Amen.
Oh my goodness, yes. And we need to take time to stop, look back and say, wow, look what God has done for me. And praise Him.
Praise God.
And thank Him.
Thank
you. Now I know that scares a lot of people. But I think we ought to express our love and our thanks to Him. Amen? He promises the return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 4. What do you say? Thank you, Lord. It's time we stopped and started thanking the Lord for His goodness to us and His blessings to us. Amen.
Amen.
We need to get real. That reaches here, not just here. The Lord gave you a gift of another great gift and precious gift He gives you is a divine nature.
Praise God.
A divine nature. Even when you were, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, had no hope for heaven, God, or anything else, what did He do? Even when you were dead in trespasses and sin, God saved you and made you alive in Jesus Christ and placed you in the heavenlies.
Thank you, Lord.
That's where you are. And that's what it says in that passage. In Jesus Christ, you are placed in the heavenlies. You were made a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You were made a new creation. You were made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You are no longer the same person. The old previous things in life are passed away. You are now concerned with a new life. And let me repeat that. You are now concerned with, involved in a new life.
Amen.
A new path.
Amen.
A new way. You know, during the early days of the church, the disciples remained in Jerusalem and they were called followers of the way. That's what people called them. They were called followers of the way. In life and conduct, they displayed a new life. They displayed a new nature. They displayed a new way. The Christian faith means a new way of life. It means a different way of life. It means a way of life that's distinct from the world. A way of life that is not like this world. Huh?
Amen.
You're meddling now, preacher. In this age of the church, there is very little, if any, difference between Christians and the world. Really? Christians may go to church, but there's very little difference. And what's the difference, do you think? I was thinking about this. I think one of the reasons the distinction has disappeared between Christians and the world is there's no witnessing going on. There's no witnessing. Nobody's telling anybody about Jesus Christ and the way to heaven, and He's the only way to heaven, and the opposite to that is go to hell. So I think that's one of the reasons now we can't tell Christians from anybody else, because there simply is no witnessing to the lost. That makes us different, you know, because we've been given the greatest message in the world. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, knowing God, and know where you're going when you die. Is that important, do you think?
Amen.
Is that important to you? Well, I think, you think it's important to other people in the world that don't know that?
Amen.
I think one of the reasons that distinction has been erased is, and that's why we're not really suffering for the Lord, because we don't witness. So I think that's a distinction that's missing. And of course, in many ways, there's no separation from the world. Are we supposed to be different than the world?
Yes.
I mean, what's that look like? Well, we know we don't go to bars and we don't do these things and we don't do that and we don't do this and we don't do, you know, a whole lot of do's and don'ts and so forth and so on. But we're to be separate, different from the world. What's that mean? We are told to abstain from all appearance of evil. What does that mean, do you think? What's that look like? The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. We are to come out from among them. Who's the them? The world system. We're supposed to be different. The Lord has given us the gift of escape from the corruption and lust of the world. That's another gift he's given to us. The gift of escape from the corruption and the lust of the world. God of this world no longer leads you. Before you were saved, the God of this world led you. You followed the course of this world, did you not? When you were saved, though, you were taken off the course of the world to a new way. And you no longer follow the God of this world. Now let's stop. Who is the God of this world?
Satan.
Ephesians 2. Satan is the God of this world. And we're talking about the world system now. We know that God, the Creator, is in control of all things.
Amen.
You're no longer following the spirit of disobedience that's in the children, unsaved people. They have a spirit of disobedience. We don't have that anymore. Why? Because you're on a new way. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, I tell you these things that you might have peace. He said, I'm giving you all these instructions that you as a Christian will have peace. Because in the world you shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation. But, what does he say? Be of anybody know it? Be of good. What's the word?
Cheer.
Be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. A Christian has a new perspective in life. He sees things differently than lost people do. Now we're talking about, we mentioned that several times here, the insanity of our leaders. The insanity of the people we see and these movements taking place in the world. They are insane. There's no common sense anywhere. I think I mentioned this to you. I read somebody where he said, I believe half the United States went to bed and woke up with another brain. It's a reprobate mind, folks. God is turning them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And by the way, convenient means normal, acceptable. The order that way things are supposed to be. They've lost their minds. So when you say insane, they are. A Christian has a new perspective in life. The unsaved people have only one perspective, and that is the world and their life on the world. Satan, the world, the flesh, binds them, or blinds them, if you will, from the truth of God. We're not blinded. Christians have a proper perspective on life, on the world, and what it's all about. I read where little things of life block out the important things in life. And that happens a lot. Little things near us shut out the big picture. Example, a small tree that you're standing close by, that stands close to you, may hide behind it the mountains and the vast mountains that you see and the plains and the prairies because you're behind that tree. It's blocking your vision. That's the perspective the world has. They're blocked. Christians have a new perspective. We have a new perspective. We see it all. We see the future. We see what's coming. Christians have the gift of a new perspective, the ability to see beyond what's in front of us. We're entering another year. So we've taken this time today to take a backward look, to go back and see what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we look back, folks, we ought to rejoice. We ought to say, what's the word? Praise. Say it.
Praise the Lord.
We ought to say,
praise.
Thank you, Lord. Say it.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, I think it does something to us if we express it. Don't you?
Amen.
Say it. So we're entering another year. Take a backward look. Thank God and rejoice in your salvation and all that He's given to us, all the precious gifts that He's given to us, everything He's given us, everything we need for life and faith to trust Him and serve Him. Take a backward look. Rejoice in God's blessings of life and godliness, the blessings of the knowledge of Christ, the blessings of our call to glory and virtue, the blessings of having a divine nature, the blessing of escaping the corruption of the world. My friends, we have been a blessed people.
Amen.
And I trust you know that. And I trust you will praise the Lord. And I trust you will thank Him. And it's good to shout it sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to shout it sometimes. Express it. Yell it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Stand with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in the Word. We pray that you'd bless it to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, that we might be a rejoicing people. We might be an enthusiastic people about the things of God. We might be an excited people about the things of God. We might, Lord, be witnesses and let other people know that we're believers and that we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and to know God. He is the only way. And that's such an important message, it needs to be proclaimed everywhere. May we be Christians, obedient to you and faithfully serve you. We thank you for your blessings.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.